Welcome to this call on Get Clear and Move Forward with Focusing. I'd like to share some information and methodology that I've been exploring that has to do with finding the forward movement in the places where we feel stuck or uneasy or uncomfortable or in pain. And this is something that excites me very much. It's something that has been part of the focusing world, so focusing, a method of inner awareness, a method of tuning in. And what are we tuning into when we do focusing? Well, I believe what we're tuning into is our inner knowing of our body's rightness. Not right as in right versus wrong, but right as in aligned with who we really are, what we really want to become. You know, there's a profound difference between thinking of ourselves as somehow machines that have to have purpose stamped on us or put into us versus the possibility that as human beings we are each already filled with meaning and purpose that is our own, and that it wouldn't be right to follow someone else's meaning and purpose. We need to follow each our own. Right? So I've been living with this wonderful process called focusing. I've helped it become inner relationship focusing. I've been working with it for 38 years now, and so profoundly inspired and excited by how it helps me and other people be more fully who we are. I remember when I first learned focusing, I was 22 years old. I knew how other people felt and what other people wanted. That had been part of my training when I was growing up. Know how other people feel and what other people want. I didn't know myself. The best I could do to guide myself through life was to look at other people. Not a very good guide, better than nothing. But if you follow somebody else's path, you're sort of like that Woody Allen joke that I like where he says, I failed my philosophy class, I failed my existentialism class because I looked deep into the soul of the guy sitting next to me. I was caught cheating. I looked deep into the soul of the guy sitting next to me. Well, we have to be following our own path. And what does life feel like when we aren't on our path, when we aren't aligned with ourselves? That's when things hurt. That's when our body gives us sensations of dis-ease, which can become disease if they're ignored long enough. And so I'm inviting each of you to sense where in your life you have a feeling of something not being right, something off, something that hurts. And that includes places where your emotions seem to get out of control or take you over. Those are signs that something is off. I was going to ask, how many of you feel that there are times when your emotions get to be too much for you? And you can raise your hand by pressing a number one key. So I'll ask you to press the number one key if you feel that you ever get overwhelmed by your emotions, that you feel more than you can handle of stress or anger or grief or sadness or fear. And I'm watching those hands go up. Press your number one key if you feel like that's an issue for you. And we've got, over 71% of you saying yes to that. Yeah. How about this? I'm going to put those hands down. Press the number two key if you feel like you feel blocked or stuck somewhere in your life. There's some way you know you'd love to move forward, you'd appreciate some kind of energy, some kind of forwardness, and yet you don't seem to do it. It doesn't happen, or you feel blocked or stuck somehow. Pressing the number two key if you feel that that's true of you. And now we're getting to 79%, 82%, 84%, 87%. Of the people here feeling blocked somehow. Okay, let me ask you another question. Let me ask you to press the number 3 key. If there's some decision that's hard for you, if you're trying to make a decision, if there's something you need to decide, something in your life that feels like it needs to change, but it's hard to decide what to do about it, or it's hard to make a decision that you feel you need to make. And we're up to 56% of people who have that as an issue. How about relationships? There's something in a relationship that you're in that brings uneasiness, or that's number 4. Press number 4 if this is true of you. There's something in a relationship that you're in that feels off, uneasy, not right, not the way it should be. You're dissatisfied, you're unhappy with it. This is the number 4 key. 41%, 43, 53, 56. Yeah. Let me ask one more question. This is fun. Inner criticism. Do you ever feel low self-worth? Do you ever feel like you beat yourself up? Do you ever feel like you feel like you're not good at something you ought to be good at, or you should? Number 5 key for this. You should be better at something in your life. So suffering in some way from some kind of inner criticism. 75%. 77. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Okay. Wow. So what I've found is that the process of inner relationship focusing helps with all these things. And thank you so much for raising your hand. But how does it help? What can we learn from these different places where life doesn't feel good, where life feels stuck in pain, uneasy, uncomfortable? The remarkable thing that I think makes this process different from a lot of others is that we find forward energy in the pain. Okay, so there are processes that help you be with your pain, that help you go into old pain, that help you perhaps, you know, relive difficult experiences and re-express or get out the anger or the sadness. There are other processes that pay attention to positive energy, positive visualization, finding the forward movement. We often seem to approach our issues as if the way to move forward with the positive is to set aside or push away or get past or get around the more difficult feelings. It's almost as if our emotional states are furniture. Now, if my bedroom is full of old chairs, I've got to move those out. You know, if I'm full of old fear, I've got to move it out or get around it or get past it somehow. What I've learned in my years with this process is that emotion is not furniture. It's process. Everything we feel is on its way to something else. Everything we feel as an emotional or physical felt state is on its way to its next. It's in an evolutionary process. The word emotion is based on the word for motion. So why do we feel stuck? Why do we get the same emotions over and over again? That's been a very important question to me over the years, something that I've really been struck with from the very beginning of my fascination and a sense of purpose and mission around helping people feel more awake, alive, clear, and free. Why is it that we feel stuck? And I think perhaps the key insight that I've had is that we feel stuck because we get identified with our emotional states. That every emotional state would love to show us its forward energy, and it would love to be moving forward into its next state, which will ultimately add to our life progress. It would love to do that. The guy who developed focusing, the wonderful philosopher, psychologist Eugene Genlin, wrote, "Every bad feeling has potential energy toward a more right way of being." And he went on to say, "If you give it space, to move toward its rightness. Every bad feeling has potential energy toward a more right way of being if you give it space. What does that mean? Give it space. Well, in my research on that, what I've learned is that giving a bad feeling space means that I am not identified with it. I feel myself to be in relationship to my bad feeling, where I'm more than that bad feeling. Let me show you a little, very little process right here so you can see what I'm talking about. And I saw some large percentage of you talked about emotional overwhelm as being one of your issues. Every one of the questions I asked you had an emotional state tied to it, whether it was working with relationships or working with inner critics. So I would invite each of you to remember an emotion, an unpleasant emotion, not joy, not bliss, but something that didn't feel great, something that you're maybe feeling right now or that you felt recently, upset, irritated, angry, frustrated, hopeless, despairing, terrified, something you felt, confused, something you felt recently or that you're feeling right now. And say it like this: I feel. I feel upset. I feel irritated. I feel frustrated. I feel desperate. I feel unhappy. I feel hopeless. Okay? Who needs more time? If you need more time to come up with your version of an emotion that fits for you, press the number one key if you need more time. Okay, everybody's got one. Okay, now, we're going to make a simple transformation. We're going to add three little words. You're saying, I feel. Now say, something in me feels. Something in me feels. Something in me feels upset. Something in me feels hopeless. Something in me feels tired. Something in me feels anxious. Notice the difference. You feel a difference there? Who wants to tell us about a difference that you noticed? If you want to, press the number two key. What happens when we say, something in me feels frustrated? Suzanne, go right ahead.
Well, it's a huge difference. You know, as an F, I'm always identifying with my feelings.
Ah.
Just realizing from listening to you, it just keeps me very stuck.
There you go. And I'm an F too, so you don't have to identify with feelings. And yeah. By the way, everybody, we're talking about Myers-Briggs, right?
Right.
Yeah, even feeling types don't have to identify with feelings. We get to have feelings. We get to have our feelings. We get to tap into their wisdom, because that's one thing it means in that system when you are an F. It means your feelings give you wisdom. You make decisions based on your heart and your gut and not just your brain, and that's terrific. But we can actually get more wisdom from our emotional states if we're not identified with them, because if we're identified with our emotional states, then we narrow down. That's one of the evolutionary purposes of emotion, is that, you know, if we would need to fight or run, our focus narrows down, and emotion gives us that ability. But we're in a lot of situations in life today where we need a wide focus and to be able to tap our intelligence and our awareness of a whole picture, even though we might be feeling an emotion. So we need to be able to move into relationship to emotion rather than identifying with it. And I know when I grew up in the Midwest, we had only two ways of being with emotion. We were either swamped by our emotions or we were denying them. those were the only two ways. You know, don't feel, it bursts out and you yell at everybody around you and then you get embarrassed and apologize and everything gets stuffed back in. Let's see, who else wanted to tell us? Kieran, I'm giving you the microphone. What would you like to say? Yes, it's just that I noticed that sense of distance or space around that feeling.
That's right.
It's not attached to me any longer, which is the same, I guess, as what you're saying is identified, but it's apart from me.
Yeah, yeah. It's apart from you.
Observing it.
You're observing it. It has distance, and yet it's still there. It's so different from pushing away or denying. And that's what we need. That's what we need. That's what Zenlin is talking about when he says every bad feeling is potential energy toward a more right way of being if you give it space to move toward its rightness. Now, what we just did together is a first step. It's a very essential and important first step. What we do then is get acquainted or get to know the feeling that we now have a relationship with. We're able to be in relationship with it. Now we can sit with it and get acquainted with it. And what we're going to discover, and I'm going to do a whole focusing exercise for you in a few minutes, but what we're going to discover, I think, is that this kind of difficult feeling, this uneasy feeling, is your body's signal that something is not in alignment with you, with your sense of meaning and purpose and forwardness. So we get signals from our body. You know, we get signals from our body when we're hungry. We get signals from our body when we're sleepy and tired and overtired. And if you didn't sleep enough last night, your body will give you signals all day. And we're used to that kind of signal. If we hurt ourselves, if I bump my head on the kitchen cabinet, I get strong signals from my body saying, ow, that didn't feel good. There's something not right here. We can get those same kind of signals at the levels of meaning and purpose, what our life really needs for us to move forward. Those kinds of signals are also available to us. That's one of the revelations of the focusing process. So now, here's the interesting thing. We may need a little more time to get those kinds of signals. If I hit my head on the kitchen cabinet, that signal is unmistakable. Some of the signals that life is a little off or doesn't feel right may be subtle. Or I may be used to ignoring them. That's the other possibility. When I first learned focusing, I was 22 years old, so used to ignoring my own signals. Really, I had been trained not to pay attention to myself. In my family, alcoholic family, dad drinking, mom pretending everything was fine. There was no reward for knowing how I was feeling. On the contrary, rewards were all for being cheerful and pretending everything was fine, even when dad was losing his job and so on. So I had no training when I first met Eugene Zenlin and began to learn this remarkable process. I had no training, no practice, no experience in sensing how I felt. Even if those signals had been very strong inside me, I would have known how to ignore them. I'm going to be showing you a few things that I've been learning lately about how to start with what feels uneasy in life. And this amazing move you've just done that you can already feel makes a difference, something in me. And then sitting down to be with what you feel there, describing it a bit, letting go your concepts about it so that you can connect with it directly in the here and now. The body in the here and now is the place of transformation. We don't change conceptually. We don't change by thinking ourselves into a new place. I'm not saying thinking is bad. We need it. But we need it as part of our whole embodied process. So, come into the body, we get the fresh right now body sense. We let go for a while of the concepts that we've been holding, like this is my fear of failure, or this is what always happens to me in relationships. These kinds of concepts and phrases that we tell ourselves over and over, they've done their best to help us. But now we're going to go deeper than that. We're going to go into the fresh right now, not in words yet, felt sense, the Felt sense is a funny word that simply describes the whole way your body holds something in the here and now. And when the research was done, Eugene Genlin did the research into what made therapy successful. He found this was what did it. When people were able to sense here and now how they were feeling, when people were able to sense something that wasn't easy to even put into words, that's what brought change. So we've known about this for a while, but what is exciting to me these days is that in those difficult places is actually the forward energy itself. It's as if there's a compass needle inside you. In the difficult places, there is the forward energy itself. It's at the very place that your body knows what's not right, it also has a knowing of what would be right. We just need to know how to discover that, okay? So I want to take you through a little focusing exercise right now to get a taste of what I'm talking about, and then I'll be very interested in your reactions and questions. I'm inviting each of you to find a comfortable position to sit or stand. Probably sitting or standing a little better than lying down, unless you really feel the need to lie down. Lying down does change your brain wave state. But if you really feel the need to lie down, you could do that too. Taking some time to settle into a comfortable spot right now, your body telling you how it would like to be comfortable at this moment. Probably, as we've been talking today, you're aware of some area of your life where there's discomfort, uneasiness, a sense of something not right, where emotions get triggered, where there's a sense of inner criticism. We're going to start with that. But we're also going to start, even before that, with helping you find what we call self in presence. Self in presence, your largest self in the body right now. So this is a state that lets you contact or be with anything that arises inside of you without being afraid of it, you know, without being pushed around or lost inside it. You are bigger than any emotional state you have. And that's what we're going to take a little time to find at the very start of our focusing session here. So how to find that? Well, start by finding your body, how you're supported right now. So maybe finding your feet, maybe even wiggling your toes a little so your feet really show up. There they are. And finding your seat, like maybe, again, wiggling your body slightly so you can really feel, really contact what you're sitting on. Or if you're standing, that would be, again, through your feet. Really long. So maybe exhaling a bit, letting yourself rest into the support that's there. So this sense of your whole body supported by what's beneath you. And somewhere, somehow, in your body right now, you feel something relaxed or peaceful or supported, even if just a little bit. That's a good starting place for us. And maybe taking some conscious breaths, some deeper breaths, and bringing awareness into that inner area of your body that includes your throat and your chest, and your stomach and belly. And remembering that area of life where something's blocked or something doesn't feel right, you're getting a signal in your life itself that, yeah, there's something, Maybe in some huge way something doesn't feel good. And you might know what it's connected to. Or it might be a kind of a subtle sense. something's off. I don't even know what it is. And one of the things we love in focusing is that we don't have to know. We just start with the feel of it. It's taking a little time right now. Probably in that inner area of your body, throat, chest, stomach, belly. Probably in there. There's something. It feels off, not right. Or the body feel that comes of that life area where something is not right. And it takes a little time. You might have felt something already, but other people need a bit more time. And it's one of a very special quality of what we do here is that we allow ourselves to take this time. What we're wanting to be aware of in the body might be more subtle than what you're used to. It might not be strong. It's okay if it's strong. But it might be vague. You might even have a doubt whether that's anything real. Let's say it is. If you have a doubt, if you have a question, if that's something real, give yourself the benefit of the doubt. Okay. Something is there. It could be a tightness in your throat or a heaviness in your chest or something in your stomach that doesn't feel right. And let's use the word something. Let's not use any other words for a while, but just say to yourself, something is here. And notice if that feels true. Something is here. I feel something. I'm aware of something. Sure, you couldn't necessarily define it yet. That's okay. Notice if it feels true to say, I feel something. Something is here. And that's it. So, with a quality of respectful interest, whatever you're feeling there right now is a compass needle. What it needs in order to show you where it's pointing is a bit more time and company. So taking a little time for yourself just to describe what it feels like right there. Let the descriptions come freshly, as if you'd never felt it before. And let the descriptions surprise you. Oh! And they can be words, they can be images, they could be memories or situations. What this feels like right now. And noticing that you're coming more and more into a friendly contact with this place, like not getting merged with it, but definitely feeling it's more and more there. Now, if you do feel you're getting merged with it, try putting a gentle hand on the place in your body where you feel it. As if you're saying to it with your hand, yes, I'm with you. Okay? As if you are saying to this place with your hand, yes, I'm with you. Or if you feel like you don't like it, or you're afraid of it or angry with it, then you've got another something to say hello to. So try saying something in me doesn't like it, or something in me is afraid of it. Yeah? When you've acknowledged both the original feeling and something in you that has a feeling about it, let them both be there. Like two children sitting on your lap, both can be there. And notice how that feels in your body. Good. Now I'd like you to sense if it feels right. Something that you're in contact here. Offering it this invitation. A sense of what it's not liking or not wanting. What it's not liking or not wanting. Okay? So something that you're in contact with. Your original feeling, probably. Inviting it to show you or let you know what it's not liking about your life, about how your life is right now, or not wanting to happen in the future. Yeah? So an uneasy feeling, something not wanted, something not liked about life right now. And let it tell you. Your job right now is to be the listener. You're the listener. You're not trying to solve a problem. You're not fixing. You're just listening. Let it tell you what it's not wanting or not liking. It might tell you through pictures. It might tell you through words that pop into your head. Or just a feeling that comes. That's it. Take a little longer to invite a sense of what this place in you isn't liking about how life is these days. And when it lets you know, let it know you hear it. Notice if you get a little relief at least when you let it know you hear it. Great, okay. And now there's a next step. Sensing if this place might be ready to show you what it would like instead of that. I don't like that, and what I want instead is... And there's, of course, a lot you don't know, okay? So that right away there might come, I don't know. Oh, sure, that's true. But there's something it knows about what would be better. Like you could say, this much I do know. That the very place that feels uncomfortable, uneasy, does have a knowing of what would feel more right, not necessarily specifically, not necessarily knowing how to do it, but it would feel more right if, and notice what comes from inside. And we're even going to say it this way, that the uneasy feeling is a feeling of something missing. So just try that out inside, see if it works. What feels uneasy or wrong about life is a feeling of something missing. Notice what happens when you bring that sentence inside. What feels uneasy or wrong about life is a feeling of something missing. And then notice if that lets you go toward a beginning of a sense of what's missing. If something is missing, I can start to sense this much I do know about what's missing. And check in again in your body if you get a sense of, yeah, that's a piece of it, or yeah, that's right. Your body will give you relief when you get it right. There'll be a breath that comes, a little loosening, a little opening, a little easing. Even if nothing in the outer world changed. Notice if you get that that comes. That's right. And if not, if what you're with feels the same as ever, just as tight, or just as painful, or just as heavy, let it know that it can be the way it is as long as it needs to be. And if that's hard to say, it could be that there's been a part of you that's been pushing, that has an agenda for this to change, and then you could turn toward that. We're going to complete our exercise today. This was a beginning. Just take another moment to sense if there's something more that wants your attention here. Something more that wants to be acknowledged before we stop for today. And noticing also what you want to remember, what you want to carry forward into your life from what you've noticed in this process today. And see if you'd like to thank and appreciate your body and your body's process. Of course. Beginning to let your awareness expand to include the room around you again. You may want to stretch a little, look around. You may also want to make a few notes about what you became aware of in this process. You may want to share something from today or have a question of me from what we're talking about today. Go right ahead, Susan.
I think for the first time in this exercise, it's the question about what was missing.
Yes.
I think I had never asked myself that kind of question before. I understand sitting with something that is uncomfortable and acknowledging it and understanding and learning from it, etc., something that exists. When you did that in the exercise, it was very helpful to me because what was missing for me was my personal power. Need to be aware that it is still there and that I can embrace it.
Yeah, and isn't it true that as soon as you realize what's missing is my personal power, you realize, oh, it would be right to have my personal power here. That is something that could happen, that can happen. Right? There's something, some kind of positive energy right there.
Mm.
Yeah, thank you so much, because I am excited about that, what's missing. That comes from my study of Zenlin's philosophy. We always have available to us our body's feeling of what's missing and what would be right in every situation. Thank you, Susan. Sharon, go right ahead.
I wanted to follow up, because that question for me also, that what feels missing, I actually felt like something very huge shifted at that, with that question, so much so that I actually didn't get what came right after that, because I don't know how.
You needed time to be with the huge shift that came from sensing what's missing.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily like a, it's almost like the, then what was being, I don't know.
Well, it sounds like you really did some focusing there, because it's hard to articulate. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But it was very, very powerful, but I do sense that it very radically changed the perspective of, it's almost like the whole process was a ball, and maybe I was standing on the north side of the ball, and then all of a sudden when you ask that question, now I was on the east side of the ball.
Uh-huh.
In other words, seeing it from a totally different, does that make sense?
Yes, anyway. It was a totally different perspective, yeah. Great, because that's just what I'm hoping. You know, that we typically, and as inheritors of the cultural worldview, we see our problems as problems, you know, things to be solved or gotten rid of. We don't understand that inside the difficulty itself is the forward energy. And I'm working on this project of finding ways to help us tap into that. I'm happy to hear the feedback that I'm making some progress on that. Thank you.
Well, and actually, for me, I actually felt like the hurt was the emotion that I was, you know, that I was focusing about.
Yes.
I actually felt like the hurt deepened when you asked that question.
The hurt deepened.
Yes.
It says yes.
Oh, good. Somebody else felt that too. I actually felt like the feeling of hurt deepened at that moment.
Yeah.
And so in a way, but it almost deepened to the point that it almost became something different than what it had been up till that moment in the process.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Anyway.
Tim, I unmuted you. I'm happy that Sharon can hear your murmurs. But what would you like to say now?
It's just the last two people that spoke, I'll just reiterate the same thing. And as soon as I've been working with this thing for 6 months, and as soon as you said the word, what is missing,
mm-hmm.
it just took me to, it just, I embraced it even further, just went right into it. And it was, it's kind of just a different experience, a different flavor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're onto something, as usual.
Okay, thank you so much. yeah, the feeling of what's missing. Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody.
Amazing.
I want to just mention, while I still have you here, those of you who are beginning to explore the focusing process, we have our flagship focusing workshop called Level 1, Encountering the Inner Relationship. We have it by phone seminar. You can do it from anywhere in the world. If you aren't sure, if you want to explore whether Level 1 focusing workshop by phone would be right for you, and you know a bit from this call how it works on the phone, although, you know, those seminars are only 14 people at the most, and there's a lot more interaction and demonstration. But if you'd like to explore, I want to give you the phone number of Lucinda Hayden, who's a teacher of our Level 1 for Focusing resources, and she loves chatting with people about whether the focusing workshop is right for them or what else, what other next steps we can help you with. Let me give you her phone number, and then I've got a few more questions I see. 415-668-7457. And that's Lucinda Hayden, who's the teacher of the Focusing Resources Level 1 course. Charlotte, I see you've had your hand up. Would you like to say something?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't sure. I had forgotten what number key is.
That's okay.
Yeah, just to say that the experience for me was interesting because I chose something that came up for me a few days ago, and it's a familiar feeling. But when I went to it today, I had a lovely, image that it reminded me of, and it was something in me that just all of a sudden, when something happened, this is a relational thing, something in me just, it was like the power went off on it, and it just disappeared.
Oh.
And I realized I was aware of, I had been aware of that when it occurred, but I had no image for it.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, I appreciated just having that image, so I'm going to try and work a little more with that. And what I found as your session went on is that there was something else that was coming in that didn't want to pay attention to what it might, what the first thing might want.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Is that it? I don't know.
It's very typical. Very typical, and I love your language. You're using something in me. Just the way I would. Something in me and something that didn't want to pay attention to what that first something wanted exactly. If we get identified with either one of those sides, we can get stuck. So we stay self in presence. We stay in that state that doesn't take sides, that doesn't choose. We stay in the listening mode. And that creates a space in which those places inside us can find their forward direction. You know, it's profound to me how much, in general, people don't trust themselves. We think of our inner places as untrustworthy. And there are places in us that are not trustworthy. I wouldn't trust some of my impulses. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I know very well that not every action should be, not every impulse to action should be acted on for the good of my whole being. But the felt sense, like a compass needle, can be trusted. It can be trusted to point us toward what's missing and what's needed. And it's not a simple answer. It's not as simple as saying, you know, do whatever you feel like doing. I would never say that. But there's something in us that can be trusted. And I think that's an exploration that we're all making. There's much more to be trusted inside us than I think many, many methods recognize. We're nearly done. I'm going to unmute everybody. Wonderful. Thank you, everybody, so much. And thank you.
Thank
yeah.
You.
Have a great day. Keep in touch.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
You.
Take care. Bye.